Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are on listen-only until the question-and-answer session of today's conference. To ask a question, press star 1 on your touch-tone phone, record your name, and I will introduce you. This call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I would like to now turn the call over to Mr. Benjamin Haynes. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you, Jennifer. Good afternoon. I want to thank you all for joining us for today's release of the 2015 National Youth Risk Behavior Survey, a survey conducted among high school students in grades 9 through 12. Here to discuss the survey is Dr. Stephanie Zaza, Director of CDC's Division of Adolescent and School Health. At this time, I'd like to turn the call over to Dr. Zaza.
Thank you, Benjamin. Hello, everybody, and thank you very much for joining us today. Today, we're releasing results from the 2015 National Youth Risk Behavior Survey, what we call the YRBS. The YRBS consists of national, state, and large urban school district surveys that are conducted every 2 years among high school students throughout the United States. These surveys monitor priority health risk behaviors, including unintentional injuries and violence, sexual behaviors, tobacco, alcohol, and other drug use, unhealthy dietary behaviors, and physical inactivity. These surveys also monitor obesity and asthma. More than 15,000 U.S. high school students participated in the 2015 National YRBS. Parental permission was obtained for students to participate in the survey. Student participation was voluntary, and responses were anonymous. States and large urban school districts could modify the questionnaire for their own surveys to meet their needs. The 2015 YRBS report includes national YRBS results and independent results from surveys conducted in 37 states and 19 large urban school districts. YRBS is really important because it tells us what high school students across the country are doing that could affect their health. We know that adolescence is a time when healthy or risky behaviors are being established, and these behaviors can last a lifetime. The data being released today help us understand the behaviors we're seeing now, as well as how they vary across the country and over time. Today, I'd like to share a few results from different topics in the national survey. In each topic, we are encouraged to see that high school students are making some better choices. Unfortunately, in each area, we are also still facing some big challenges. Let's start with smoking. Cigarette smoking among high school students is at its lowest level since we began the survey in 1991. On the other hand, new data from the 2015 survey found that 24% of high school students reported using e-cigarettes, and that is concerning. This is the first time the YRBS has measured e-cigarette use. Recent national attention on the challenges of prescription opiate addiction also affects our youth. Despite a decrease from 2009 to 2015, 17% of high school students say they've taken prescription drugs without a doctor's prescription. Drugs such as OxyContin, Percocet, Vicodin, Codeine, Adderall, Ritalin, or Xanax, all of which have great potential for addiction. We also have mixed results in interpersonal violence among high school students. The percentage of high school students nationwide who had been in a physical fight in the last year has decreased dramatically from 42% in 1991 to 23% in 2015. But bullying, both in person and electronic, has remained at a troubling 20% and 16% respectively. Another area where I am encouraged is with dietary behaviors like consumption of sugar-sweetened beverages. There was a significant decrease in drinking soda one or more times a day from 27% in 2013 to 20% in 2015. However, sedentary behaviors are still problematic. For example, although TV watching for more than 3 hours a day decreased from 43% in 1999 to 25% in 2015, this behavior has been completely replaced by the use of computers. Using computers, which includes playing video or computer games, for more than 3 hours per day for non-school-related work nearly doubled from 22% in 2003 to 42% in 2015. In the area of car crash prevention, 42% of students reported texting or emailing while driving in the past 30 days, and this has not changed since 2013. This behavior puts us all at risk, as each day in the U.S. more than 8 people are killed and nearly 1,200 injured in crashes that involve a distracted driver. With respect to sexual risk behaviors, I'm encouraged to see the reduction in the proportion of high school students who are currently sexually active, which is defined as having had sex in the previous 3 months. The percentage of high school students who are currently sexually active has been decreasing, dropping from 38% in 1991 to 30% in 2015. Although teens are having less sex, condom use among these currently sexually active students has declined. Condom use has gone from 63% in 2003 to 57% in 2015. Another concern for us is that among these students who are currently sexually active, 21% had drunk alcohol or used drugs before the last sexual intercourse. And unfortunately, HIV testing has also decreased from 13% in 2011 and 2013 to only 10% in 2015. This year's YRBS report clearly shows that fewer high school students are engaging in some very important health risk behaviors, but we still have some progress to make. There's no single solution to reduce health risk behaviors among high school students, and we can all collaborate to help address these health risks, using interventions that are based on the best science available. To aid these efforts, CDC works with other federal agencies, national non-governmental organizations, state and local education and health agencies to identify and monitor school health policies and programs, conduct research to increase the effectiveness of interventions, enable partners to plan programs and implement interventions that benefit students, and evaluate the impact of those interventions over time. We hope that public health professionals, educators, youth service providers, policymakers, and parents can use these data to guide their planning decisions and help schools and communities reduce youth health risk behaviors that are still prevalent and to monitor those that are newly emerging. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Zaza. Jennifer, we're ready to take questions.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touchtone phone, unmute your phone, record your name clearly after the prompt, and I will introduce you for your question. Again, it's star 1 to ask a question. Your name will be required to introduce you. If you need to withdraw your question, you may press star 2. One moment, please, for the first question. The first question comes from Marcia Frilick from Medscape Medical News. Your line is open.
Thank you for that. Could you talk a little bit more about the e-cigarettes, and are these first-time smokers? Are they switching to e-cigarettes? What's happening there? Do you have figures on that? And is this report available in its entirety? Where can we find that?
So thank you for your question. There are a couple of questions on the use of e-cigarettes and other electronic aerosolized products like that. So the data that I reported was for current use of e-cigarettes within the last 30 days. That was 24%. We've also asked a separate question, have you ever tried using these products? And that's much higher, closer to 45%. We don't go into a lot more detail on this survey about the various forms or use patterns. Those are the two questions that we ask on this survey. And what was the second part of your question? I'm sorry.
Can we find this report in its entirety somewhere?
The report will be released at 1 o'clock today on our website.
Okay.
Next question, please.
The next question comes from David Beasley, Reuters News Service. Your line is open.
Thank you. I had a couple of questions. The CDC had a study in April which showed a 16% e-cigarette usage among high schoolers, and I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about why your number's higher now. Was it a methodology or the way the question was worded, et cetera? And secondly, if cigarette smoking is going down and e-cigarette use is going up, is there any kind of a causal relationship between the two? In other words, are people using e-cigarettes instead of cigarettes, or are they using e-cigarettes to help quit regular cigarettes?
Okay. The question regarding the difference in the rates in the different surveys is important. The different surveys do have different methodologies and ask the questions in slightly different way, and of course they follow other different questions, so you might see differences in the actual prevalence rate. What we do see over time with both the National Youth Tobacco Survey and the National Youth Risk Behavior Surveys are that the patterns, the trends over time, and the subgroup analyses are very similar and consistent over time. So those differences in methodology can likely explain most of that difference. Our questionnaire does not get into the why, right? So our data tell us what is happening, but don't give us much insight into why some behaviors over others. Once we have these data, we can begin to delve in and begin to analyze them more deeply and put them in the context of other data sources to learn more about patterns of use and why certain rates are higher than others to begin to break some of that down, but we have not been able to do that yet.
Okay. Could you talk about the medical danger of e-cigarettes? How is it harmful to your health?
Let me refer you to one of our experts on that topic.
Yeah, so this is Brian King, the Deputy Director for Research Translation in CDC's Office on Smoking and Health. So the increasing rates of e-cigarettes are a growing concern from a health standpoint, particularly for youth, because they typically contain nicotine. And aside from being highly addictive, there's growing evidence to show that nicotine might harm the developing brain and could also lead to sustained tobacco use over time. And so the bottom line is that you shouldn't be using any form of tobacco product, irrespective of its, whether it's e-cigarettes, a combustible product like cigarettes, or smokeless tobacco.
Thank you.
Okay, Jennifer, next question, please.
The next question comes from Mike Stobe, the Associated Press. Your line is open.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to ask a question about the use of prescription drugs that were obtained without a prescription. Do you know, you gave the statistic about 17%, and that's a concerning level, but that it had also gone down. I was wondering... I'm sorry, the why question, but any idea why it's going down? And also, I was wondering if the survey provided any information about which of the drugs, OxyContin, Vicodin, Adderall, Ritalin, which were the ones that, were the kids saying which ones they had taken, or did it provide that kind of breakdown?
Thank you. Let me answer your second question first. The question is a very simple, single question. Have you ever tried a prescription drug that was not prescribed for you by a physician? And then in parentheses, a list of examples. And the examples that I read out are exactly the ones that are asked in the question. So we cannot break that down any further in the YRBS. Regarding why the use of prescriptions is going down, I don't think this survey can tell us that again. It does tell us that we're watching this. For my part, I think that despite the fact that it's going down, the fact that the prevalence rate is still 17% is quite high. It suggests that there's a norming sort of behavior among kids that it's okay to take these very powerful drugs without somebody actually prescribing them for you, and that's a pattern that can be held over into adulthood. It can also lead to other forms of risky drug taking. So I think that we do need to watch the trend. We're encouraged to see that it's coming down. But given that it's the other than alcohol and marijuana, the most frequently used form of drug taking, then we have to keep a very close eye on this.
Thank you.
Okay, Jennifer, we have time for one more.
At this time, there are no further questions. Again, if you would like to ask a question, press star 1. There are no further questions.
Okay, thank you. So this will conclude our telebriefing. A transcript of this call will be posted to the CDC newsroom as soon as possible. YRBS results will be available on CDC's website at 1 p.m. Eastern, and you can find that at www.cdc.gov/healthyyouth. If you need additional information or have other questions, please call the CDC press office at 404-639-3286 or email media at cdc.gov. Thank you.
This concludes today's conference. Thank you for your attendance. You may disconnect your lines.